Hyper Card. What is it? It's not hyper. It's not even a card. It's not quite system software. It's not quite application software. Today we unravel the mystery of Hyper Card on this edition of the Computer Chronicles.
Hello and welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute album conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Eric Elijah. Joining me today, in 100 years, there'll be nothing left of him but a skeleton and a long, glorious beard. Buster Hein is here.
Hey, man, I don't know if the beard will stay, though.
I hope that's what they find of you. That's my wish for you. Also joining us, his many Apple books can be found propping up the short table legs of tables all across America. Leander, Katie is here.
Funny you should mention that. I've actually got a couple here. Proper.
Do you really?
It's on a table. It's a huge piece of granite, but it's they're sitting on these two of my books.
They're just the right size.
Yeah.
I mean, this is after you've read each of them several times.
Oh, back to back.
Back to back, and you've gone through the entire trilogy. Actually, the quadrilogy. Wait, yeah. No. What's it called when you have four?
Quadruplets?
The quadruplets. I don't think that's what it's called either. In any case, he's got far too many Apple books. Welcome to the Cultcast. We have so much good Apple stuff to talk about this show, which is great because the last two or three weeks, it's been so slow. No news. But we're going to do some fun stuff this week. And actually, for the rest of the month, we're doing a new series called Our Favorite Stuff of 2015, a.k.a. Faves of 2015. Very original name, wouldn't you agree, Leander?
Yeah, indeed.
Faves of 2015. And this episode, we will be talking about our favorite Apple devices of the year. And I feel like there's a lot of options. So did I tell you guys we were going to do this?
No.
Okay. No.
So you have no approximately 40 minutes. 40, 45 minutes.
So prep.
Leander, I'm curious to hear what your pick is going to be because you've literally purchased everything Apple has sold this year. And we have a lot of stuff to choose from. We have the MacBooks. We have the iPad Pro. We have the new iPhones. We have the Apple TV. Is there something that I'm missing? Oh, the Apple Watch?
Why don't we just, are we going to just limit it to Apple stuff?
Yeah, it's just Apple stuff.
Okay, that sounds good.
Just the best Apple device, your favorite Apple device of 2015.
Well, this is an embarrassment of riches, but okay. Yeah,
that's right. We can talk it out. We'll be bragging about all the cool stuff that we purchased. But with so many Apple devices, I think it'll be fun to hear what you guys choose. Also, we are going to be talking about the holiday accessory that could be eroding your Wi-Fi signal. Buster's going to tell us about that. New rumors about a headphone jackless iPhone 7. A headphone jackless iPhone 7? Like an iPhone 7 without a headphone jack? Weird. Also, how Apple out-innovates its competitors with a much smaller R&D budget. Before we hop into all the rigmarole, though, I want to say thank you to Canary for supporting this episode. Canary, a complete home security system in a single device. Canary puts you in control during an emergency. Through the Canary app, when something strange goes down in your house, it will send you an alert, and you can watch live footage of what's happening. You can sound off a siren, a super loud siren, or connect with the police near your home. Canary, honestly, gives you a feeling of confidence that your home is protected when you're not there. I have one of these in my house, and during this time of year, many of you may know, this is when houses get burgled the most. Mm-hmm. Is because they're filled with all your precious gifts, and burglars know that, and people are going on vacation. You're going to want to have something in your house to help you protect your stuff from those nasty burglars out there, and the Canary is perfect. HD video uploaded right to the cloud, so it's stored there, and you can view it later. So if someone does break in, you can see them in the day or the night. Watch the video later or scare them off. Scare them off is definitely the best option. See all that Canary can do at meetcanary.com. Get free overnight shipping with code CULTCAST at checkout. Free overnight shipping. Meetcanary.com. I also want to thank Linda for supporting this episode. Oh my goodness. I love Linda.
I'm not going to laugh.
I got a little snort though. I'll take that. Yeah. Linda has over 3,000 expert taught video courses that you could stream straight to your computer or mobile device. And it's the first place I go whenever I want to learn anything new. They're always adding new courses that you can watch and learn on the go. And let me just tell you about a couple that I thought were really cool. So have you ever wanted to create iOS apps? Do you know where to start? Linda has a course that will help you create a simple iOS app and then publish it to the App Store. But they take it a step further. You've probably heard of Apple's Swift programming language that they are pushing. If you're looking to write iOS apps, Swift is a great way to go. But also, and I think this is going to be even more important in the next 5 years, if you're looking to get a better job, app developers are in such hot demand. If you learn how to program in Swift, get some experience under your belt making free apps for businesses or some folks that you know, you can literally get a job, a well-paying job as a developer using Swift or many of the other programming languages that are out there. They're all available on Lynda, and Lynda has a Swift Essential Training course that you can take. Check it out. You can learn all you want for free for 10 days at lynda.com, lynda.com/cultcast. It's a free 10-day trial to learn all you want. lynda.com/cultcast. Thanks to Lynda for supporting this episode. Bustier.
Yo.
Let's start with this. I thought this was very exciting news. We got some Amazon Apple TV news this week, didn't
yeah.
we?
Yeah.
Do you tell me about it? Would you?
Instant video coming to Apple TV, which is like, I don't know. Do you watch any Amazon Prime video shows? Like Man from High Castle is like a new one that they just came out with. Super awesome.
Man from High Castle.
Man in High Castle? Is that what it's called? I can't remember.
The Man of the High Castle.
Is it about Leander? That would be a reality show right. to watch.
Yeah. He's a Nazi, so yeah, got it just about right.
I haven't heard of that one.
You haven't
but
heard of it?
Oh
my gosh. No. It's so good.
Dude, you always know about the new shows. You must always be watching shows.
I wouldn't say always. I try and, you know, if there's like a good... if people talk about it a lot,
yeah, this got a lot of attention.
Yeah, I saw. I mean, the pilot for it came out a year ago because Amazon does this weird thing where they'll order a bunch of pilots for new shows, and then whatever the best one is from that batch, then they'll order a whole season for it. Mm-hmm. So, like, Man in High Castle, it finally came out. I've been trying to watch it on my big TV with my wife, but you have to AirPlay it from your,
which sucks.
Yeah, and it's always like. Pooping out on us, like we'll right. be like 10 minutes in and it'll just stop and we're like right. oh my gosh, and then we try again and then it stops 3 minutes later, so we're like F it, you know, and we just give up on it.
F it. I've been waiting for this app, and I didn't know if Amazon, I don't think any of us were sure if Amazon was going to bring a new app to the Apple TV, because they stopped selling the Apple TV entirely on Amazon. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of like, oh, that's kind of a weird move, don't you think? Especially because they still sell iPads on Amazon.
Right. This is,
and Amazon has a tablet.
What was their reasoning for not selling that?
Their
TV?
Reason, I thought, was they didn't want to sell a device that competed with their own streaming boxes, mm-hmm. like the Fire Stick and the Fire Stick TV.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But I think they also said something like, oh, well, but we also stopped because then you can't get Prime Video on it or something like that, and that would be confusing.
Oh, maybe that's why.
I can't remember. But I didn't think that they were going to release an Apple TV app because, I, you know, keeping it just on, like, the Fire TV and the Prime Sticks or whatever they have, you know, makes you move over to Amazon more.
Yeah, and having the... Amazon app missing from the Apple TV was a huge omission because right. it just makes it so inconvenient to watch Amazon Instant Video. And if you are an Amazon Prime subscriber, you watch a lot of Instant Video. You don't realize it until it is taken from you. So in any case, did they say when this was going to be coming out, Buster?
They didn't say. It wasn't like official announcement. Okay. It was somebody through the support of their
oh, right.
iOS
Dan
app.
Boston Weeks.
Yeah.
Boston Weeks. That's a cool band name. Reached out to them on Twitter, and they said they were working on it, and it's going to be out in the next several weeks, apparently.
Yeah.
Fan-freaking-tastic.
They've definitely got the best catalog of all of the streaming services.
I don't know. I go back and forth. I think Netflix is good, too.
I don't know. Netflix is basically stuff that you don't really want to watch. Unless you're completely stuck. And Amazon's got a bunch of stuff that, you know, almost anything you look for, you can find on Amazon, I found. Even really? Old, obscure, weird British old British TV shows.
Maybe the stuff you search for is on there in abundance.
He's like, oh, well, they have all the trash on Netflix, but there's tons of obscure British awesome shows on Amazon.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's exactly what happened.
Come on. Wait, this is all the stuff they've been playing on PBS for years. This is all quality stuff that Americans want to watch, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't wait. Let's move on to this weird iPhone 7 rumor. So I'm sure you guys heard that there was a Japanese blog that put out a report citing a reliable source, quote unquote, that Apple is going to shave 1 millimeter off the iPhone 7 thickness by dropping the headphone jack in favor of lightning connectors. Buster, what do you think about this?
So Evan wrote a piece saying how that's such a stupid idea. I actually think it's a good idea.
Do you really?
Yeah, I totally do. And I don't think it'd be as big of a problem as everybody says. It would be annoying. But, dude, like, the headphone jack has been around forever. Like, why are we still trying to keep it around? That's one of my big questions. Like, is it any better than digital audio? I don't think it is.
Oh, it's probably worse than digital audio. I mean, the analog signal, there's no way it's as good.
So right. what's the point in having, like, keeping up this outdated, you know, crappy technology just because nobody wants to buy new headphones? But you wouldn't have to buy new headphones anyway. They'd give you a freaking dongle. You know Apple loves selling you a dongle.
Dude, see, okay, this is where the huge disconnect comes in for me. You think Apple is going to, instead of just giving you lightning-enabled ear pods, is going to give you a dongle to plug in your earbuds that you have laying around your house into your iPhone? That just seems so kludgy to me.
Why wouldn't they?
Leander, having written the book, literally written the book, about Johnny Ive, the genius behind Apple's greatest products. Surely you agree with me. There's no way Johnny Ive would let this happen.
What?
The dongle or the switching?
They have. What are you talking about? They've been doing dongles for years for like SD cards, for all kinds of inputs into the iPad and the iPhone.
They had done dongles for Mac. That's true. That is true.
And for the iPhone and iPad.
And for the iPad. Yeah, right.
What dongle are you referring to?
I have a dongle here for like micro SD cards. You can have other ones for different connectors as well if you want to do
USB
video connectors.
And,
yeah.
There's HDMI.
Like they've. It's not like
I feel
crazy.
Like those are dongles though. I hear what you're saying, Buster. You're saying that it's not like they haven't done it before.
Well, I'm not just
right?
saying it's not like that they haven't done it before. Also, it would be moving us forward, which is good.
Plus, for a pair of wired headphones, like a little extra dongle. Wouldn't actually be that bad.
No.
It wouldn't be that, you know, that kludgy.
No, it's on your cord already. So what's the problem with the dongle?
I don't know, because, I mean, the lightning cables have proprietary technology in them, and they have actual chips, like digital chips, in them. I mean, I would guess that they would have to put some type of, like, analog digital converter in them to convert the signal into...
Yeah, but that's all doable.
Into a digital source.
Well, the ones
but
now...
But to give you that for free and increase...
Well, I'm not
saying
they'll give it to you for free.
They'll give it to you for free if you buy an
right,
iPhone.
If you buy a new
then
iPhone.
You'll have to spend
exactly.
$70 to get it separate.
Uh-huh. Right, at least.
But there's also, right. you know, we're wireless audio. I don't plug in anymore either. You know, I have a Bluetooth... Or an AirPlay speaker here at my desk that I use for around the house.
Yeah, that's true.
I have some Bluetooth earbuds for when I go jogging. So you don't even need a wired connection anymore because we're all moving past that.
I feel like I use my wired connection all the time, especially when I'm listening to music and making phone calls, because you can get a Bluetooth adapter for the iPhone, but I've reviewed a ton of Bluetooth headsets. Like a total dork. I've walked around for hours with those things on. And what I've learned is Apple uses some strange Bluetooth technology that's different from most other manufacturers. And it's often somewhat incompatible with a lot of the headsets that are out there. So you will experience...
Are you talking about...
You know, audio dropouts.
You're talking about
just
like
warbled.
Headphone, like for like talking, like on the phone, like
yeah.
a businessman?
Yeah,
doucher?
Precisely. So okay. I'll use my... Did you say business yeah. douchery? I like that. I'm going to tell people I made that up. Yeah, I'll use my headphones to make phone calls and stuff around the house. So I do use my headphones pretty
often.
I'm not totally wireless as you are, Buster. You're a man of the future.
Well, I have some Apple earbuds plugged in right now to my MacBook, and I use them all the time, too. I just don't see it being like a travesty. Like, I saw, I think, Nilay Patel at The Verge also panned it, saying, you know, you don't need to make the iPhone any thinner. But sometimes I think you do, actually. And technology is all about becoming thinner and smaller, and not just for the sake of being thinner and smaller, but also so that, like, it integrates more naturally into your life. And so I think that's something that Johnny really appreciates, trying to kind of make your device seem more seamless. And so I think killing the headphone jack is part of that inevitable progress.
And the headphone jack is what, 50 years old?
Yeah,
or more?
I think 60.
Yeah, but if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Well, we can say that about lots of stuff. That
but it's also the last sort of analog connector, right? Isn't it?
It is. Yeah.
The sort of digital
other one is on there, I guess.
You just have the lightning
on the iPhone.
And the iPhone.
Yeah.
Audio jack.
Plus, you know, what kind of extra things could you do if you went to the lightning jack? I mean, I have some gaming headphones, USB ones, and they go all disco when you're talking. Uh-huh. And you can have crazy lights in them, so you can have a light show in the headphones.
That sounds eminently useful.
Totally ridiculous, but I wonder if there's other things you could do though with powered headphones that were powered from your iPhone. Mm-hmm.
I think eventually, you're right, Buster, we're going to go to Bluetooth or something like it, and everything's just going to be wireless.
Well, Bluetooth's annoying because that's another thing you got to keep charged, right?
Right.
Whenever I try to pick up my Bluetooth headphones, inevitably they are. You know, there's no battery.
Yeah, that is true. I have a shower radio that I use, and you know, like, you'll be in the shower, rub-a-dub scrubbing, right? And then all of a sudden your speaker's dying and you're like, oh, I forgot to charge it.
Right.
So I've taken to like charging it once a week before it starts chirping at me. But yeah, you're right. I mean, then you have another point of failure where you'll be at the gym and all of a sudden your headphones don't work.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what I like best about that this iPad music. Pro keyboard is that it runs, you know, it pulls power from the iPad. So that's the only thing I got to worry about being charged up.
Oh, that's you. So you finally got the Apple keyboard?
No, this is the Logitech one I've been using.
Oh, okay. Do you have one of the Apple ones on the way?
No, it's supposed to be on the way. And thanks for reminding me. I got to check in on it.
It's been like 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, I know. Come on, Johnny Ive. Where's my keyboard?
That's right. Send him an email, Leander.
Yeah.
What about the pencil? Is that
showing up? That too. Yet? Still MIA.
Good grief. So, Leander, do you think that this rumor is credible? Not that it's credible, but do you think that Apple would do something like this on the iPhone?
Yeah, totally. I mean, oh my goodness, Apple!
I'm surprised. Apple is
the. It's the. You know, there's a long, long history of this of Apple euthanizing. Old technology.
Yeah, like your CD drives. Well, everybody crying that, oh, what am I going to do without a CD drive on my MacBook? You know, all the time. Yeah, like Leander's saying.
Remember when the first iMac came out and it was like it didn't have a floppy drive? And people say, it's dead in the water. This thing is a turkey. We've made lists, haven't we? There are literally dozens of technologies that that they've killed. I mean, this is Apple's MO. And this is, in fact, what makes it great. In like a year's time, we'll be on this stupid podcast saying, oh my God, why didn't they do it sooner? It's so much mm-hmm. better.
Okay, A, this is a great podcast. B, the CD drive was different because people were not really using those anymore. The headphones, everyone uses, I feel like.
No, when they killed
them. You feel like people don't use them?
Oh, I'm not saying people don't use them, but everybody was using CD drives still when Apple killed it. And that was very controversial and people were mad about it. They've, killed like fire ports as well. In the past, and other connectors like the lightning port when they, or not the lightning, the whatever 10 pin or 9 pin connector, whatever they had.
You mean FireWire?
No, you know, the one that you used to plug in your iPod and the original iPhone, that 16 pin connector.
Oh, yeah.
They killed that as well.
I don't remember how many pins were in
that. I mean, there's been lots of connector that they killed just because technology gets better and our devices are going to get better. And even though it's uncomfortable to move away from plugging in your headphones every time or with that port, there's going to be some benefits to not having it as well.
It's hilarious. I thought for sure you guys were going to agree with me.
You know
I
what?
Was positive. You guys were going to be like, this is so dumb. Of course this is not going to happen.
Would it Wouldn't it? Does that, you know? It, well, I mean, it won't get full of pocket fluff for a start. But does that have anything to do with waterproofing?
Oh, that's a good
point. I mean, I guess
maybe
it's. But you still got the lightning port, mm-hmm. right? Which I don't see why that would be any more waterproof than an analog headphone jack. But it's definitely removing more sort of points of entry for water and for liquid.
Yeah, and they're certainly beefing up the waterproofing, at least on the 6S, and they have gaskets going around the whole thing, so it's much more water resistant.
Right.
In fact, you can take your iPhone 6S into the pool with you and just swim with it, and it will be fine afterwards. You should try. Everyone listening should try that.
I'll send you
the whole thing. Says to be a lot.
I'm kidding, by the way. Please don't try that joke that Leander didn't laugh at. Please don't try that.
Right.
What were you saying, Leander?
It's also a lot tougher. And have you noticed? I mean, I've dropped mine a bunch of times. Mm-hmm. I've got this new wood case, which is absolutely beautiful, but it's like as slippery as a piece of soap. Mm-hmm. And so I'm constantly dropping it. And then it went down on the concrete the other day. And I was like, oh my God, that's definitely broken. Picked it up, not a scratch. The whole thing's a lot more durable.
Huh.
Than it used to.
You have it in a big, bulky case, though, too.
Well, it's a wooden case, true.
Okay. But, I mean, wood has some give.
It's not that bulky.
So I didn't mean to offend you. Let's move on to this strange story that Buster wrote about Christmas lights. I was truly surprised by this, Buster.
Why?
So apparently, Christmas lights are affecting some people's Wi-Fi speeds.
Yeah, that's...
Do tell, old chap.
According to some watchdog in the UK, there's a big spike during the Christmas season for Wi-Fi problems, like to internet service providers. And mm-hmm. the thing is lots of electrical devices, anything that emits an electronic signal, or electromagnetic signal, will F with your Wi-Fi because that's, you know, they're all using those waves. So I was kind of surprised to see that too, but they said it's the blinking lights that are like the worst for it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because
I've got some of those in my house.
Well,
now.
Which when you think about it, it's like the pulsing, like on and off constantly, is sending a new electromagnetic pulse every time. So yeah, I could see why that's like, you know, creating some janky waves in your house.
I don't know, man. My router is right next to my blinking Christmas lights.
It's been fine.
Don't you agree? Me? Yeah. Buster, you said you've been having some Wi-Fi problems. Do you happen to have Christmas lights
up?
Yeah,
my wife is crazy about the decorations. They've been up for weeks.
Really?
That could be the problem.
Yeah, because you just said for the last couple weeks you've been
That's
having strange Wi-Fi problems.
That's why the podcast has been awful. It's all the audio.
All my fault.
Wait a second. Yeah, what the heck? Maybe that's why.
Could be.
It's all your wife's fault. When did she put up the Christmas lights?
Like before Thanksgiving, like 2 weeks before Thanksgiving.
Okay, see?
Why even bother to take them down? Just leave them up next year.
She digs them.
Christmas lights are the best, though, aren't they? I love having Christmas lights.
I kind of do dig, having the Christmas decorations around.
Leander, do you have any lights up in your house?
Oh, my goodness.
Or is it bah humbug?
Yeah, our house looks like, a Vegas casino.
really?
We have people stopping their cars and getting out and taking pictures.
Oh, really?
You're kidding. No.
And then my wife just bought a 6-foot inflatable penguin.
Your wife did?
Yeah, to stick out the front there.
I do not see Tracy as being big on Christmas decorating. That's so funny.
Oh, man, no, she loves it. Yeah. She loves
she
it.
She bought a penguin.
Well, now we're in some kind of like space or arms race with the neighbor because they wanted
to. Who's going to have a brighter house?
Right, so they decked out their house yesterday now with all their lights. Let me tell you, it's not a patch on ours, but I think they're going to upgrade it this weekend, so... We might have to go down a Big Lots and get some more.
You might need to pick up like a Rudolph or something.
Although the neighbor down the street's got this really weird, like Yeti snow monster. I guess it's from Rudolph the Reindeer.
Oh, the snow Yeti, yeah.
Yeah, the snow Yeti, and it's on his roof and it waves.
And, oh yes.
Goodness, I almost had a heart attack when I saw it. I thought it was like some kind of little, homunculus was going to jump down off the roof and eat me.
I do remember that now. It's been a while since I've seen that cartoon.
Yeah,
but I do remember that snow Yeti.
That thing gave me nightmares when I was a kid. I can clearly remember the nightmares I had after seeing that. Terrible, feverish childhood nightmares. And so and I'm like, who would put such a thing on their roof? It's not.
Where would
Christmas
you even buy such a thing?
Yeah,
it's not like they sell that at Home Depot.
What did he make it?
Well, if it waves, is it wood?
No, it's I don't know.
In my mind, it's inflatable, but maybe it's flat.
No, it's animatronic. So I think it must be It's not wood.
Animatronic.
It's plastic or something. It must be plastic. You know, I'm going to have to investigate. You're right.
You
better
be careful.
Take it out too.
That thing might have Wi-Fi, and if it gets a virus, it's going to go on a rampage around your neighborhood. You're going to wake up. You're going to think you're in a nightmare.
Right.
But it's just that real Yeti destroying your face with its plastic fists.
All too real. I know, yeah. That thing is horrible. Didn't you have nightmares about it?
I had nightmares about gremlins. Do you remember gremlins?
Yeah.
When little Irfan saw gremlins, I had to sleep with my mom for like 6 months after that.
Just 6 months?
I was so scared of those damn things. Yes, I was terrified.
Okay.
Terrified of gremlins. In fact, I still am. Yeah. Just a little bit. Okay. Well, speaking of the holidays, I thought this was interesting to mention. So I was reading that Target was having major sales. We talked about some of these Black Friday sales. But they were selling one iPad every second, dang, all of Thursday. How many seconds are in one day?
Well, you want me to figure that out?
Yeah, yeah, dude.
It's like 60 times 60 times
60.
Something. Let's just all sit here quietly and not talk while Buster
times
figures this out.
24. It's not 86,400, is it?
86,100? Is that what you said?
86,400.
Oh,
oh, is that old?
That might be right. Yeah. I mean, an iPad every second—that's insanity. They were giving huge gift cards.
Yeah, but 86,000
with a lot
iPads,
of different.
That's not a lot.
86,000?
Yeah, no. For a day.
That's a what are you talking about? 86,000 iPads times what? $400 each? $500 each?
But
that's a lot of iPads.
Yeah, but that's just
like 100 sort of billion iOS devices. I mean, it's not.
But that's
even
over the course of the entire history of iOS, Leander. This is one day.
I know, but
one
exactly
single day.
They Apple sells, you know, how many iPhones they sell in the opening weekend?
I don't know. Millions.
It was
over 13. Yeah. I think it's 13 million for the 6S.
13 million or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Leander's not impressed. He's not impressed. Did you guys get any new cool, fun Black Friday scores?
No.
Did you buy anything
at all?
Didn't
even go to the... Oh, no, I did. I did go to a bar, and they were having $1 off black beers, black ales. So that was a really stellar Black Friday deal that I found there.
That's one that Leander would have taken advantage
of,
I think.
I'm nodding in full agreement. I'm thinking, yeah, that sounds like my kind of Black Friday.
The Blackout Friday is what it turns into. What did you do on Black Friday? I'm not sure.
Right, I blacked out.
What happened to Friday? I just went from Thursday to Saturday.
Yeah.
I remember eating turkey. I got some sweet deals. We were talking about before we hit record. I got some PlayStations for a ridiculous price, which then somebody on Craigslist propositioned me
you
for.
You said PlayStations, plural.
Yeah.
How many did you buy?
How many?
How many PlayStations did I buy in total? To be honest, I'm not even sure, but I think I bought 7.
Damn, why?
Yeah. Because if you didn't catch our Black Friday episode, what I do every year is I just stay on the lookout for really like crazy good deals, right? Those are the only ones I buy. And then I will buy a bunch of them and I will resell them on either eBay or on Craigslist. Oftentimes Craigslist with the big items because they're expensive to ship and, you know, eBay is expensive. But if you get a good enough deal on one of them, you can resell them. And it's a good deal for you, and it's a good deal for the person buying it because they missed Black Friday or they weren't paying attention. And now the prices have all gone way back up. So you're going to offer them a deal that is lower than the current prices are now because they all go back up after Cyber Monday. Uh-huh. And so you make a little bit of profit. They get a PlayStation for far cheaper than it would cost them in the store. It's a win-win. Win-win-win.
I think you
so
need
to speak.
Like, it just seems like so much work to do all that. I feel like you need to automate all that with like an app or something.
Like I need to build a robot or something.
Yeah, you need to build like a little Amazon, mini Amazon robot warehouse there.
Urfazon. Urfazon.com. Yeah, you know, it's really not that much work because it sounds like a lot of work. But once you list it on Craigslist or you list it on eBay, you just sit there and you do nothing and you just wait for the ducats to roll in. And as long as you're careful, you got to meet in a very public space. And now what I do is I meet inside public spaces. So I'll be like, inside a grocery store. I won't meet you in the parking lot. You have to meet me inside, like at Starbucks.
Grocery store.
Yeah, that's usually my go-to. Because if you're trying to run away with my PlayStation before paying me,
you just push a shopping cart in front of them and
pull up, exactly. I just grab a Starbucks coffee and just throw it right at their head.
But you said grocery store, not Starbucks.
Well, they have Starbucks inside grocery stores.
Yeah, I see. So a Starbucks inside a grocery store. Gotcha.
Yeah. So I'll
I thought
I'll
you were meeting by the produce aisle.
What? The produce aisle.
Oh, the produce aisle. Yeah. I mean, that works too, Leander, because if they go off sprinting, I just grab the biggest aubergine. Biggest aubergine I can find and just chuck it right at their head.
Yeah, but they might
He's like,
idea.
What did you hit me with? And I'll be like, an aubergine. He'll be like, what? An aubergine. You mean a zucchini? What?
Yeah, right.
What the hell is that?
That's the way to do it.
We get into this big argument.
So you 7 PlayStations, how many Xboxes?
I think I bought 2 or 3 Xboxes. And then I bought different Intel processors that I resell.
Wait, you buy processors? Yeah. You sell those on Craigslist or eBay?
Yeah. Those ones went on eBay. Because sometimes what they'll do is give you like a good price and also, for instance, Intel will give you, during the holidays, the processor for a great price, but they'll also give you video games and they'll give you codes for video games. So then you just piece them all out. So I'll sell the processor, which I will recoup my initial expense on. And the video game codes you can sell independently on eBay and make like another like $40 or $50. Huh. So I did a bunch of those.
Huh.
So you just kind of figure out like...
So what's the markup on the consoles?
On the consoles probably will be, I don't know, like 15-20%.
Okay.
Which isn't huge, you know. Like I said, you're not going to get rich doing this, but you might make enough money to buy like a fun toy that you
a latte ice cream, at Starbucks.
Yeah. Like maybe not a latte, Leander, maybe like a Americano. But only a single shot.
It sounds like a colossal waste of time. I hate to be so brutal about it, but
no, I think it's a great use of your time. I mean, it sounds like a lot of work, but it really is not. And you have to be careful. The deals have to be good. If you don't buy good deals, then you're right. You're going to spend a ton of time selling a bunch of crap, doing a bunch of work, and then not making any profit. Whereas I will come away with, I'd say, probably like a 30% return on my money overall. So, you know, that's not bad for doing no work. I mean, I'm not doing anything. All I do is like ship out a box and
post them
and call it good.
Craigslist.
Yeah, ducats. Mm. Watch the ducats roll in. And then also I wanted to mention, because Leander thought this was amusing, that in college I actually did this for a living. So I would buy and sell like Super Nintendos, Nintendo 64s, and sell vintage games on eBay. And it's a lot of fun. And once you know like what's worth money, you can tell very quickly if you should like buy a video game. And usually I would buy them in lots, so I'd like bid on like an entire auction full of video games and then resell them all individually.
Huh.
And that's how I made all my money in college. It was great. One of the best jobs I've ever had.
And you said you did it for 3 or 4 years?
Yeah. Well, yeah, all 5 years of college.
Oh, 5 years. So, and then enough to, you know, so you didn't have to work at McDonald's.
Well, I worked at Olive Garden for a little while, but eventually I quit because that was the absolute worst job I have ever had in my entire life, working at the Olive Garden in Bellingham.
You didn't like the breadsticks?
No, dude, the breadsticks were great, but the managers were terrible because that Olive Garden in Bellingham, Washington is one of the highest grossing Olive Gardens in all of the United States. And so if you didn't do exactly what they wanted you to do at all times, they would just fire you. And hire somebody else. Mm. So they were able to treat you like crap. How do we even get on this topic?
Well, yeah, selling games and stuff eBay. But so why can't you do that anymore?
So you could still do it, but it's gotten to be very competitive. Like eBay back then, a lot of people just didn't use it and didn't know about it. And it wasn't as safe as it is now. Like now on eBay, virtually anything you buy is guaranteed to be as described, or eBay will just give you your money back. So it's a lot safer now, so they just have a bigger pool of people using it. And now everyone's trying to buy and sell stuff on eBay, especially when the economy tanked. I think a lot of people started to try to have an eBay business. And so people didn't really know what they were doing. And so the prices of all the games that you would normally buy and make a profit on, they all went way up because people who didn't know what they were doing were buying these games thinking they could make money, not realizing they were overpaying. And so for people that actually knew what they were doing, they kind of got priced out of the market. And you can still do it. In fact, I have a friend who actually taught me a lot of what I know about all this stuff, and we did it together in college, and he still does it. In fact, he who went to school, he got his degree, he became a teacher, and he quit being a teacher and went back to eBay because he made more money doing eBay.
Well, and what's he selling on eBay these days then?
He sells video games. So he'll sell like rare Nintendo 64 games, rare Super Nintendo games. There's a huge market for Sega Saturn games. And what he'll also do is like go around to different CD stores, like all over the U.S. Like he'll fly over the all over the U.S. buy CDs from all these different stores and then sell them all in his eBay store.
Huh, we should.
And that's what
him.
He does for a living.
That seems crazy, though. I mean, people will still pay big money. I mean, can't you get emulators that run these games?
Yes, you can, but it's not the same experience. So playing on your PC is way different than, you know, having the Nintendo 64 sitting there. You pop the cartridge in. You have the genuine Nintendo controller, which are way higher quality than any aftermarket controllers that are sold today. So it's just different. It's very nostalgic.
Yeah.
And the crazy part is, like we need to move on, but the crazy part is the games I was selling in college are worth far more now than they ever were. Like a game that I would sell for $15 now might be worth $50. They just keep going up in value because they're rare and you can't find them anywhere anymore.
Crazy.
So fun job. Fun college job. Should we move on?
Yeah.
Sure.
Buster's like, please. Okay. Before we move into our faves of 2015, Buster, let's do a little conversation about Apple's R&D spending, shall we?
R&D, it's so exciting. And spending.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I love R&D. I love talking about R&D. I love going out with my friends. We talk about R&D over a beer. So I thought this was just interesting because in your piece that you wrote, you said Apple spends significantly less than Google and Facebook.
Yeah.
And some of their other competitors. I mean, significantly less. Like in some cases, like, you know, like 80% less.
Right.
And yet they yield far better results. And, you know, Apple is known as being one of the most innovative companies in the world. So how is it that they are able to get so much more bang for their
they
buck?
They put it all on their suppliers. That's actually what I kind of came away from this realizing is that a lot of the risk as far as like R&D goes for Apple products is really put on the suppliers. Mm. You know, they take the best from suppliers who push like Sony, awesome image sensors, Qualcomm, who's doing, you know, their chips and everybody else. And then they just put that into the iPhone. I think what's great about Apple's R&D is they don't just throw money at like a research team and say, come up with whatever you come up with. They usually have like a focus. They have a product that they want to explore or create. And then the R&D goes into that instead of like other right. companies where they're just like, let's just hire a ton of people to just research whatever the hell they want and hope something cool comes out of it like Google does, you know?
Yeah, Google being the prime example, yeah. right? Self-driving cars and
or
balloons.
Satellite stuff.
Don't they want some kind of moon rocket thing
yeah,
too?
The moon elevator, yeah, space elevator dream.
What? They're working on a space
elevator?
I think
that was like one of their like dream. You know, they have all kinds of crazy product projects at Google, and it's kind of, you know, all those companies, they're just trying to dream up new ideas for what might work in the future, whereas Apple's looking at what kind of awesome futuristic stuff is available to us right now and how can we incorporate mm-hmm. that into devices right now instead of, you know, worrying about what we're going to be wearing in 15 years like Google is.
Didn't you also say something along the lines of because Apple is so hugely popular and they sell so many different devices that their suppliers are constantly competing against each other to get Apple's business.
Right, yeah.
So they're innovating just because they know if they can get in with Apple, they're just going to make ducats upon ducats.
Yeah, I mean, you get one little tiny chip on the iPhone, that's a huge deal for a little any company, because that's going to sell hundreds of millions of units, you know?
So maybe they save their best tech for
yeah,
Apple.
Yeah, totally.
But Leander, what do you think it is about the design group that other companies can't emulate, because that's really where a lot of the magic happens, isn't it?
Right. And well, yeah, they're trying to copy the products, but they're not copying the process. They're not copying the way that, you know, the setup that Apple has. Mm-hmm. And it does. It goes back to the Industrial Design Group, which was set up as an external design agency, almost like a consultancy inside Apple. And it had one client, which was Apple. And then it was like 10 years of hard work, with, you know, mainly driven by Steve Jobs, to change the company culture, to elevate the designers to the head of the table and to make sure that they were the ones that called the shots.
So compared to, let's say, maybe HP, I mean, how would a company like HP approach a problem differently than Apple?
Well, you know, look at the Sprout, right, which is HP's all-in-one desktop computer. Mm-hmm. And it's also their, you know, quote unquote creativity station. And it has a built-in 3D scanner.
Mm-hmm.
What's the other thing? A couple other things. So it's this kind of really strange, it's almost like a kid's toy, like a plastic, what are they called? What's the name of the brand? It's like a plastic kid's computer that does all these weird things.
Oh, I've never even heard of it.
It's like a prosumer computer that's pitched at doing things like 3D scanning, so you can do you can print in 3D. It does, I think it scans, it takes pictures. It's a strange thing. Anyway, the point being that this is how I think other people do R&D. It's sort of undirected. It's like they throw together all these technologies and they say, what can we build out of this? Whereas Apple, I always think, takes a look at what you can do. They always want the technology is in service of much more clearly defined goal. Mm-hmm. In other words, you know, like I think Sony used to do this too, and Samsung I think is doing the same. You know, you can see they take a whole bunch of technologies that are available to them, and they chuck them into a product. So, like some of the earlier, you know, Android phones that Samsung was putting out, they had all kinds of sensors on them. They had these stickers that would interact with the NFC chip inside of it. It comes with a stylus. It was like two generations ago. Some of those Android phones like had a million and one different functions, and they were chucking in all the technology they could, like totally scattershot, and then hoping that something would stick. Whereas Apple is far, far more disciplined, you know, with the features it puts in, and also sort of the raison d'etre of the device. You know, like the iPad was in development for years in Ive's lab, and you know, they really couldn't get it small enough. They couldn't get the battery good enough. They couldn't get the screen responsive enough. It was too hot, too heavy. And it was like, you know, this realization, well, if we could shrink this down, this would be a good phone. So that, you know, the R&D that they did, the 2.5-3 years that they tried, you know, to develop the iPhone was much more directed. You know, it had a clear goal. They wanted to create a multi-touch phone.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've remained very disciplined since. I mean, it has remained more or less, with the addition of a camera and, of course, much better internals and a better screen. But it has remained remarkably similar to the first iPhone.
It's amazing that Apple spent only 3.5% of their R&D or their budget on R&D compared to Google, which spent 15, Facebook 21, Qualcomm 22, and yet has accomplished as much as they have. And I don't know, what has Facebook accomplished? A better like button?
Well, they're doing Oculus Rift, right? And they're doing
Oculus Rift. That was a company they just bought.
Yeah, they're putting a ton of money into that project, I think.
For sure.
I wonder
they're doing all sorts of kind of internet access projects.
Right, they have a satellite countries. Drone project, I think, internet drone project or whatever that they're working on.
I mean, and the like button is incredible. I mean, every time I use it, I'm just like, this is amazing. Yeah. Look how easily you can like something. And the shape of the thumb is just perfect. I just enjoy clicking on the thumb. So that's money well spent.
Facebook puts like all of its money into like knocking off other apps, it seems like, you know, features from other apps like Snapchat. Today they announced that they have live recording or live broadcasting thing, just like Periscope and Meerkat.
You're kidding. Oh, wow.
You know, they did like Poke, and then they had that that news app that they did. And so they're Facebook's, what they get into is kind of interesting to me as well, but
I feel like once you get that large, you just got to start throwing stuff at the wall.
They're just like, oh, I don't know. Yeah. Let's we got money. Let's
I don't know what's going to happen next. Yeah. That reminds me of a TED Talk I saw with Seth Godin, who's a really famous marketer, and he writes books and stuff. And he said Coke Japan, they had no idea what product was going to be popular. So they came out with a new Coke every 3 weeks. Every 3 weeks they came out with a new product because they had no idea what people would like. And I feel like once you get large enough, that ends up being like what you end up doing. And that was part of the magic of Apple. It's like when they come out with the product, it's like, oh my gosh, this seems like a product that's always existed. How did we live without this, right?
Well, because they do all their R&D, you know, they do all that kind of stuff behind closed doors, you know, behind the frosted windows of the design studio. Mm-hmm. You know, they make dozens of different iPads in all kinds of different sizes and then play around with them internally to see which ones they like best.
Yeah, like we saw that rumor earlier this week about all the different versions of the iPhone 7 that are floating around, and some of them may have like USB-C, and some of them perhaps have the thumbprints built into the screen so the Touch ID would be gone. And these are all potential versions that are floating around. And I forget who reported it, but their insight into topics like this have been accurate before. So it seems like these versions may actually exist, and Apple's just using them. And you know, we may see these released eventually, or we may never see them. We just don't know. Okay, before we move on, I want to say thank you to Harry's for supporting this episode. If you are ready to get a much better shaving experience, you should be giving Harry's a try. Harry's.com, makers of fine German-made razors. In fact, they were trying to take the middleman out of the razor business because you know how expensive they are, especially if you buy them from the grocery store or Amazon.com. They can be ridiculously expensive, and Harry's decided, hey, we are going to buy an entire German factory, make these ourselves, and ship them directly to people so we can lower the prices for everyone. That's exactly what they've been doing. And if you're ready to step up your shaving game, if you're using some cheap, rusty, nasty razor, and you're like, you know what, I'm tired of the razor burn, give Harry's a shot. And if you're looking for a present for the man in your life, the big, hairy man in your life, like Buster, shaving sets are a great gift because guys always appreciate good razors, good shaving supplies, good manscaping products. And Harry's especially is a nice present because their products are so nicely packaged. When you open the box, you just feel like you're getting a really good experience. Harry's has clearly spent a lot of time devoted to the design of their products, the packaging of their products. And I know that's a small detail, maybe a silly detail to some, but is it? That's one of the things that we get from Apple products. You know, they spend a lot of time on their packaging as well, and I think it makes a big difference. And Harry's has their holiday shave sets available now. And what I always recommend is if you're not sure what to get, the Truman set from Harry's is a great starter pack. It comes with 3 razor blades, a handle, some foaming shave gel, all in a very nice package. If you're giving it as a gift, you could also pick up their travel kit, which is a really nice canvas bag that holds all your manscaping products. And here's the thing. Once you have a Harry's shaving kit, you can select a plan so Harry's will ship razors right to your door at a frequency that you choose. You can get 4 razors a month, 8 razors a month, 16 razors a month, and the prices will be far less expensive than both Amazon and especially the drugstore. The Truman set normally sells for $15, but if you use code CULTCAST at checkout, you can get it for $10 shipped directly to your door. If you're looking for a good shaving set, give Harry's a try, the Truman set, harrys.com. The code is CULTCAST. I want to thank Harry's for supporting this episode. Okay, so one quick thing before we do faves of 2015, I just want to mention this because I think this is very cool. Apple is participating once again in code.org's Hour of Code initiative by offering a range of workshops and other special events for kids age 6 and above at Apple stores all around the world. This is going to take place on December 10th. They have CEOs of all these various companies coming in to talk about coding. And I think they're going to give the kids some hands-on time with code. I think this is amazing. I think that computer science should be taught in every single, I don't know, maybe if elementary school is appropriate, but at least middle school. Like every kid should be learning computer science because it's the future. And it's so much fun. I enjoyed programming in college. It was part of my major. And you can get a great paying job. It's like the new trade school. If you learn how to program, you're going to have a great job coming out of high school or college. So if you can take your kids to an Apple store, a local app store on December 10th, I think it's well worth your time. Because maybe your kids will be into it. And if they are, then by the time they're older and have a job, you can just kick back and relax. Because your kids will be earning so much money that you won't have to do anything. They'll just take care of you for the rest of your life. And that's ultimately what we want, right? To get paid, but not have to do any work.
Right.
So ultimately, it's good for your kids, but it's better for you. Okay. Let's wrap up with faves of 2015. We're going to be doing one of these segments every show all the way through December. And I thought it would be apropos to start with our favorite Apple gadget of 2015. Just to recap, it's been a great year for Apple gadgets. We got the new MacBook. We got some upgraded MacBook Pros with the new Force Touch trackpads. We got an iPad Pro. We got the Apple Watch. We have the Apple TV. What am I missing here? We got the iPhone 6S and 6S Plus. It's been a great year for Apple devices.
Yeah, everything got upgraded, didn't it? Almost
except the iPad Air. Yeah, that was the only thing.
That's right. We did not get a new iPad Air, funny enough. So, we've all spent far too much money on Apple devices. Far too much money on Apple devices. We've all been wearing our Apple Watches. I'm curious, Leander, let's start with you, because you have literally every device, much to your wife's chagrin. You have every Apple gadget they've released this year. You've purchased multiple copies of. Which one is your favorite that they've released this year?
Well, you know, that's a good question. And okay, let's just put it on the record that, because this is the same thing that my wife says to me. And you know, I say, I don't know if you noticed, but you know, my job and our living comes from this thing called Cult of Mac, where I write about Apple and its products.
Yes.
So
that's a very good point too.
Yeah, I have to. So we have to get our hands on them, otherwise we're going to be dead in the water.
Yeah, and Apple doesn't just give these things out for free.
No, they don't.
And, to anyone, and they except don't, for Walt Wilson. Yeah,
and they don't even lend them to us too either, which has been a point of contention.
In fact, they actually won't return my emails.
Well, I've had promises that we would get something, but. You know, nothing. Anyway, it hasn't materialized yet.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's, you know, like the weird thing is that, yeah. Okay. So I have the iPad Pro. I have an Apple Watch. I have the iPhone 6S Plus. I have the new trackpads and the new keyboards, and I use them all every day. And, I haven't given up on my Apple Watch like some people. Mm-hmm. I have still struggling to use the iPad as my main machine. And the iPhone 6 Plus is, you know, like an astonishing piece of hardware. I would say that's going to be my favorite.
Which
the
one?
The 6S.
The 6S is your favorite. The 6S Plus.
Yeah, I think, you know, like, I think it is an incredible and magical gift from the far future. That, you know, is that we all take for granted. If you know, you go but you rewind 7 years and someone said you're going to have this thing that does all these things, you'd say, nah, it's ridiculous.
It's become
so far in such a short time, and it's, you know, such an astonishing device. The capabilities are really magical.
What's your favorite feature on the 6S?
Feature? I don't know. I think that it's more than the sum of its parts. I think it's the totality of the thing. I think it's like all the things that it enables you to do. You know, like from paying with it to doing I FaceTime with my brother on my birthday morning. I mean, he's in his apartment in London, and I'm just woken up here in San Francisco, and you're video conferencing with him, and I can walk all around the house, and I can show him exactly what's been going on. I showed him the Christmas decorations, so, you know, Trace's lights outside. You know, that sort of thing is just, and it's so, you don't even think about it. It's just sort of completely taken for granted. My mother, you know, got a call. She was in Auckland in the airport and got a video call from her. I find it's only when you sort of afterwards, when you hang up and you think, you know, that really was kind of amazing that we can do this sort of stuff. Be in contact with anywhere in the world with super high definition video. I mean, I don't know, you know, and then watching Amazon Prime on my Apple TV, beaming across the room, anything you want to do. I mean, I've been testing out the Sony projector, and I took it outside last night and I hooked it up to my iPhone and I projected on the neighbor's house.
Nice. Wow.
So I got a big 40 foot picture, you know, all the way. On the neighbor's house. That just kind of stuff, you know, like, and there's a million and one examples of that and a million and one things you can do with it. And it's completely indispensable. Could you imagine, like, you know, my kids have got these phones now and if they leave it at home at school, they're lost. Like, that's it. The day's over. They might just crawl up into a fetal position. And I think everyone is like that. You know, it has become absolutely essential. Everyone's got one. The entire world is getting these devices, even if it's an Android phone. It's, you know, did you see that thing on 60 Minutes about M-Pesa in Nigeria?
No.
Which is their mobile payment system. Mm-hmm. You know, they've actually leapfrogged into this kind of completely mobile banking system now, which is run on cell phones. You know, most of them actually are dumb phones, but it's based on texting. But it's a completely and utterly cashless system now, where they do person-to-payment payments. And you're watching this and you're going, oh my goodness, this is exactly what Apple's trying to do, and everyone else, of course, as well, you know, with person-to-person payments. Mm-hmm. And it's true what Tim Cook says. The next generation of kids will not know what cash is, because everything will be done by phones. Every single thing we do will be mediated by our phones.
Yeah, and I think that's true, especially payments.
Right. Payments, locks, keys, security devices, it'll be your ID. You won't have a wallet. You won't have an ID card anymore. You know, the biometrics on it, the fingerprint sensor is absolutely fantastic. It totally works with almost everything now and never craps out. You know, in a couple of years, it's going to be even more stark and clear how this thing is a cybernetic device. It's an extension of your hand and your brain.
It's true.
There you have it, folks. Until it comes alive. And then you become an extension of it.
Right, yeah, that's the next step.
The meat extension. Yeah, it's truly incredible how many things are becoming integrated with the phone. I mean, the new thermostats that are coming out, the locks that are being marketed today that unlock as soon as you walk up to your door.
Right.
They're all the parts of your home. The lighting, all the parts of your home are all going to interact with you via your iPhone or via your smartphone in the future. And I don't even think we're that far away from some of this stuff, like maybe like a couple years. Like even the price of lighting. I just saw a Kickstarter for a company that is marketing their kind of like smart lights, and they're far less expensive than anything on the market today, according to them, because they're building in the Wi-Fi directly into the bulb itself, and there doesn't have to be this bulky hub that you plug in. Well, bulky compared to what they're doing. I mean, the hub is the way it works now, and I think it actually works quite well. But so they're able to lower the prices. And once the prices come down on this stuff, I mean, they're just going to have this stuff everywhere. You're going to find it at Costco. It's going to be at your grocery store. It's just going to be everywhere. Okay, Buster, what's your pick?
I think I'm going to go with the iPad Mini 4 that I purchased this year. Yeah, I really do like it. I've gone without an iPad for a while, and I kind of missed the joys of like reading on the iPad. Because I used to read a ton because I majored in English literature, so I've read tons of books. And then for this year, for some reason, I just wasn't reading a lot. And then as soon as I got an iPad Mini, like my reading finally picked back up because I can go wherever and read wherever. So for me, it's like for reading alone, like the Mini is awesome, which is my number one thing I use the iPad for, plus playing Vainglory and chess. So
you're still playing Vainglory?
Yeah, man.
You're playing
chess? Yeah, me and my buddies, we play chess. Like, we, you know, over, yeah, like chess.com has a sweet app. And yeah, we play have a couple boards going at a time.
Couple boards? What a man of culture we have here.
Indeed, right.
I read many books, many rich leather-bound books. I stroke my beard as I sit in my sweater and smoke my pipe. And, you know, occasionally I check in and play a game of chess with my old chums.
Yeah, great times.
I had no idea. Yeah. English lit major? I knew that part. Well, man, this is a tough choice. I was going between the Apple TV, which I really like a lot, and the iPhone 6S as well, Leander. And I think clearly for me, the 6S is the best device Apple has released this year. And I say that because, like you, I feel like the 6S is a magical device. It is the best phone I have ever owned in my entire life. It's the most polished phone I've ever owned. It's the most enjoyable phone I've ever used. And I think probably one of my favorite features so far is the Touch ID. The Touch ID on this phone is so fast. I am still not totally used to it. Sometimes I find myself just trying to like touch just the corner of the home button just so I can see what time it is. Because if you touch any more than just a fraction of the corner, it immediately unlocks.
Right.
That's how accurate and fast it is.
Really, mine's kind of gone to crap lately again. Yeah, yes. My wife's too. Like, she was like, oh, mine doesn't work every time anymore. And yeah, for me as well. Mm.
Have you tried deleting the fingerprints and redoing
that? That's such a pain. I don't want to have to do that every like month. Just to have a fat. But yeah. it was working super fast for at least the first 2 months that I had it.
Well, you know what? Maybe your skin changes with the seasons. Oh. So like when it's hotter, your skin sweats more. It's drier in the winter. So maybe every season you have to like reprogram
it. That's so horrible.
Yeah. Give it a shot. The 4K video on this phone, unbelievable. So sharp. So good looking to have a 4K camera in your pocket at all times. I mean, who would have thought, you know, 5 years ago, no one was even thinking about 4K. And now you have one in your pocket. It's just a magnificent device. I can't I honestly don't know what they're going to do. I can't think. What could they do in iPhone 7 to make this phone markedly better.
Get rid of the headphone jack, make it a little bit thinner, ditch the bezels, put the Touch ID behind the display. There's improvements to be made still, which I think is exciting.
I agree, the bezel could go.
I mean, in 10 years, like, what are phones going to look like? Like Leander's saying, everything in your life is going to be mediated through your phone, but I'm interested to see where it'll go.
As am I.
Yes, success is okay. I'm not like as in love with it as you guys are. I don't know. Like 3D touch, I never use 3D touch. The touch ID isn't that great. The camera isn't markedly better at all, as far as I can tell. So I don't know why everybody loves it. I mean, I like it.
Hearing you describe it, I'm not sure either.
It's a totally amazing camera.
It's a good camera, but it's not any better than the 6, though.
Okay, yeah, I'm with you there. It's not a huge improvement over the 6.
Well, we started playing around with live photos and have started to use those a lot more. They're a lot of fun, especially with kids, you know. Mm-hmm. And we've had a lot of fun with those. What was the other thing you mentioned? Touch ID. 3D Touch. So, you know, again, you know, like I don't use it. I keep forgetting to use it. I haven't trained myself to use it. But the couple of occasions when you do use it, it is super useful.
Right. Which for me is like once a week what I remember. Oh, yeah, I have a pressure-sensitive display. Right. But I'm usually wanting 3D Touch on my iPad way more than I am on my phone. Because on my iPad, I'm always like, yeah, I got tons of room here. So I want just a little peak. That's fine. That looks good on the iPad. On the iPhone, like the peaks they take up almost the entire phone. So there's really not a huge benefit to them most of the time. I mean, a second is all.
Yeah, I haven't really found the peak and pops to be all that useful yet. Maybe I just haven't really found the right time to use them. But I to the app switcher. So when you're in an app and you press down hard on the left side of the screen and it activates the app switcher, that I use actually pretty frequently. And it's far faster than moving your thumb all the way down to the home button and
move it.
And then you got to double tap it.
Yeah.
Who's got time for that? I got a podcast to edit. I ain't got time for that. And then pressing down hard on the icons to activate the 3D touch menu.
I always forget about
that. That's something that I feel like is useful, but I always forget it's there.
The one thing I do find 3D touch useful for is moving the cursor. Like when you're typing something or you have an error and you need to move the cursor back and you don't want to keep tapping and it's like microscopic. You can just force touch the keyboard and then move the cursor that way. That's kind of like the only thing I find 3D touch to be like immensely useful for.
Any other honorable mentions before we wrap up here, guys?
I feel like we should talk about the Apple Watch. Was like the biggest product that Apple released this year, and all of us are saying like didn't even consider it for a favorite. I think that says something, right?
Yeah, you might be right. I very much like the Apple Watch, but I don't really feel like it lived up to the hype. Would anyone disagree with me?
No. I mean, yeah, sometimes I think maybe I should sell this on Craigslist.
In fact, I've thought the same thing. I'm not going to, because it is a very good watch, and people always laugh when I say that. Like, what do you like about the Apple Watch? Well, it's a great watch. Ah, ha, 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 ha. Well, what else does it do? I'm like, well, a lot of stuff that they said it was going to do, you could use that stuff, but I don't. Like, it's just a great watch. Although, I think my favorite part of the Apple Watch are the complications. So having the weather updated constantly on my watch, and having those little integrations with my iPhone, I think are very useful. I do find it very strange, I've mentioned this before, that no one is making first or making apps directly for the Apple Watch. They're all still tethered. I think that is a clear sign that maybe it's not worth their while. Like, people just aren't using their apps enough. And so people just aren't using apps in general.
It's hard to say. There was an estimate today, right, that they sold 3.9 million over the holiday period. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Watches. So what does that bring the total to? Do you know, Lester?
A lot, though. Way more than I think most people were expecting.
And I think a lot of people are going to get it as a gift for Christmas. I think it's going to be a popular gift for sure.
Potentially, yeah. Especially because there were quite a few deals to be had on Apple Watches.
Yeah,
right.
Over the last couple of weeks. How do you feel about your Apple Watch, Leander?
Yeah, you know, I use it for a lot of things, to be honest, throughout the day. I mean, mostly for telling the time, which is ridiculous, like you said. And but that alone is kind of useful. I mean, I set alarms with it, and I get calendar reminders on it, and I totally rely on that. I've taken phone calls on it. I get the directions is great, I think, when it works, which is sort of 75% of the time. But especially when you're driving, right? You know, and it'll just tickle your wrist.
Tickle your wrist, yeah.
To tell you when you have to turn.
I think we just found our title.
And I like looking at messages, texts, getting email. You know, like, it's totally great for email, which is ridiculous. But, I get to see all the email coming in really quickly. Uh-huh. And I love to be able to glance at that. So I kind of know what kind of horrible.
You get notifications on your wrist for all your emails? All of them?
Oh, my Lord.
You have the busiest inbox I think I've ever seen, too, which is.
Well, worse, I know. And worse than that, it's for three different email apps, because I've been trying out three different apps on the iPad Pro. So they actually come in three at a time.
Nice.
But so I just look at the first one. But I know, it's crazy, and I don't look at them all. You know, the thing is going on my wrist. It's like a busy little insect. I mean, the thing is buzzing all day. But I find it. You know, I feel as though I haven't lived up to its potential. I've been reading Graham Bowers. He writes on the weekend for the site, and he's been writing a lot about using it for fitness. And he's a keen runner, and he has been often. He's written two or three columns criticizing it as a running watch. It's, mm-hmm. And it's funny because it's like a GPS. It doesn't.
Right.
Like,
yeah, I've been using it for running too a lot more lately, and it's not great. But that's the number one thing I do use it for. So that's, if I didn't use it for running, I probably wouldn't ever wear it.
Well, and do you play music off of it when you're running?
No, I control all that with my iPhone because it's not like convenient to like be flipping through the complications while you're trying to run a 10K or something.
Yeah, true. Well, I've used it at the gym, and I've used it to play tunes, and I don't mess around. It's like I just stick on a long, either a playlist or I used to download these shows from the radio in London. And they would be like 2 hours long. So, you know, you just set it rolling and then just sort of sitting. And if it's terrible, you endure it. And if it's great, it's great. But, my experience at the gym has been okay with it. I'm not all the stats and stuff. I mean, I don't want to see how badly at the gym.
You're like, I don't even want to look
that's
afterwards.
That's why I do like it. Because I do like seeing after, like getting like a good reading on how many calories you've burned and stuff. Like, you know, your split times and other things, all timing, how much exercise you've put in for the day. I feel like the activity circles are kind of useful.
I feel like I don't ever really think about how often I use my Apple Watch until I hear you guys talk about what you do with yours. And then I think, oh yeah, you know, I do use mine a lot. Like, since we were talking about showering with a radio earlier, oftentimes, you guys are gonna think this is hilarious. Oftentimes, when you're listening to a podcast in the shower, and the same ad that you've heard like 100 times comes on, you're like, I don't want to listen to this again. Not that you would ever do that with a podcast. Certainly not with ours.
Right.
And when you have your Apple Watch on, you can skip forward 30 seconds with the music control. And then also you could pause. You can go back if you're listening to like a book or something and you want to hear something again. or you can go to a different track entirely. And then using messages on my Apple Watch has also proved to be really handy. You know, getting your messages on your wrist and not having to dig your phone out of your pocket, the ultimate first world problem. I don't know if there's one that is more first world than that, but that's also very handy. So just being able to read your messages quickly on your wrist and then respond, which maybe only works well 80% of the time, but it works well often enough.
Yeah. I had a long conversation with my son using the responses, and it took him actually quite a long time to figure out that I was using these canned responses because I started messing with him. But yeah, that was actually really great. That worked really, really well. I'm driving in the car, and I'm using Siri to send canned responses to him, to a whole text. Text conversation. So I saw someone on Twitter saying the other day, like, I think he was traveling, and he said, and he'd used his watch for Uber, and he'd used it to check in at the airport or something, and for paying for things, and had said that, you know, like, after a day of doing this, when it worked, it was magical. You know, this thing's like a mouse cursor for the real world.
I agree. I use my Apple Watch to pay at my local grocery store all the time, and I feel like David Copperfield. When I go in there and I double tap the button and I scan it and it works and I don't have to sign anything, I don't have to do anything, I don't have to take my wallet out. And the people at Trader Joe's are always really impressed and they think that I'm really cool and they want to hang out with me because here comes the magician again. He's going to show us how the world is going to pay in the year 2025.
Yeah,
but he's doing it now.
His smug little face.
Yeah, I make this really smug face and sometimes I make a squeaky noise like...
You don't even really look at him, yeah.
Yeah, I purse my lips all strange and I mock them because clearly they're far more analog than I am and far less superior than me. And that makes me feel good about me and I like that.
Good for you. Uh-oh, here's Tracy.
Okay, well, with that, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the cult cast we have for you guys this week. Hey, go get your learn on at lynda.com, lynda.com/cultcast. Learn how to be an iOS developer. Start a 10-day free trial. lynda.com/cultcast. I want to thank Canary for supporting this episode of You Really to Secure Your Home and have that safe feeling when you leave your house. Check out meetcanary.com. Remember to use the promo code cultcast at checkout to get free overnight shipping. This has been the cultcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the cultcast come out every Thursday night. We want to thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. I almost did a Santa Claus next time, but I was like, how do you thank you. How do you do a Santa Claus next time without doing the ho-ho-hos? I don't know. Ho-ho-ho! Next time!
Yeah, that's good enough.
But I should probably save that for the Christmas episode. Hit record.
Okay, recording.
Is it recording? Okay, and here's what we're going to do. On the count of three, we're all going to say, hi! Just like that, okay? So say it pretty loud. Ready? One, two, three. Hi! who's doing it late?
Oh, sorry. My bad.
I knew that was going to happen. And it's like listening to three f***ing special needs kids, isn't it? I will bet that we will not do it. We will not be able to synchronize this, even if we keep going.
It doesn't need to be exact. Ready? So we'll do one, two, three, clap. Ready? Okay. One, two, three, clap. One, two, three. Who did that? That was late. You did that on purpose.
I thought that was the real thing.
Okay, here we go. One, two, three. Okay, you know what? Good enough.
Good enough, okay.